living hope. Lord, we thank you that you're the resurrection and the life. We thank you, Lord, and we declare this morning that you are alive, that you are risen, that you're no longer in the tomb. Lord, we just thank you that the life that you live, that you give to us, you give us more. You give us life, an abundant life, life to the full. We just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you accomplished on that cross 2,000 years ago. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for new birth and new life. Thank you for breaking down that wall of separation between us and God. Thank you for breaking the curse of sin, breaking the power of sin over our lives. And Lord, we just give you praise. We just give you honor. We just declare it this morning that you are the living God. You're the King of Kings, that you're the Lord of Lords, that there is no one, no God, who can stand beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who's excited in the house this morning? I mean, it is Resurrection Sunday that we're celebrating. Is anyone alive? Yes. Awesome. Well, it's so good. Happy Easter to everybody. Yes. Big happy Easter to you all. And welcome to all our visitors here this morning. Take a breath. We all going okay? Yeah. We're all thinking about the Easter eggs we're about to consume today. Well, we've already consumed them. We're getting that that bit of fatigue after, you know, when you're... No, it's all good? You're good? Big happy Easter, everyone. And a big welcome to all our visitors here this morning. We have quite a number of visitors here. So a big blessing to you all. And just pray today you will feel and experience God's blessing and you'll pass God's blessing on to others. It's good. Hey, Manoa, can I get you to pray? Yeah. Come up here, man. Let's just pray for the sermon. I'll get you to pray for the word. Is that all right? Yeah? Is that okay? I've got you by surprise. But can you just pray for the word? Is that okay? Yeah, awesome.
Yes, let us pray. Heavenly Father, yes, how majestic is your name, Father. We just praise you and we thank you. Thank you for your love and thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the life of everyone that are present here this morning. You are the reason that they are here, Father. Yes, so here we are. We're coming with our hunger because we know you already prepared every good words of your kingdom, Father, that will meet our hunger this morning. So those who are sick, they will get healed. And those who are blinded in spirit, they will receive their sight today, Father, because of your love. You said in your word, Father, that you love us so much that you gave your son. Amen. To come and die for us. And here we are. We just come and praise you. No other name will be honored today. Yeah. It's on your name, Father. Yeah. So we ask you. And we ask you to forgive us for our sin. We are sinners in your eyes, Father. Yes, we ask you to forgive us and clean us from all our iniquities in this world, Father, and continue to bless us with your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Manoa. Awesome. So good. Well, my prayer this morning is that we would all encounter the risen Christ afresh, that we would encounter his presence afresh, that you would be filled with joy by encountering Jesus. You know, the ladies that saw Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, they were filled with joy when they encountered Jesus. What about the guys on the road to Emmaus? We saw that on the clip. You know, as they were on the way to Emmaus and Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, their testimony was, didn't our hearts burn within us? Because we were with Jesus. I pray that your hearts would burn within you this morning because you've encountered the resurrected Christ. Even the disciples, you know, last week we talked about the disciples in that room locked away, trapped in fear, fear of the Jewish leaders. Yet when Jesus entered the room, they were, as the Bible says, filled with joy. Here they were, frightened, afraid, terrorized, having a panic attack. Yet when Jesus entered the room, the whole atmosphere changed. And I pray that as we encountered the presence of the resurrected Christ, that we would be filled with joy. Was it Psalm 16? In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Who needs some joy this morning? Yeah, we need to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's my prayer this morning. That you don't just hear a good message, or you don't just hear a message, or you don't just hear a message, you kind of think, oh, that's a bit, you know, I'm not sure about that. But you actually hear from the Lord, you hear from the Holy Spirit, you hear from Jesus himself, and that you encounter him afresh so that you are filled with joy. And even in that room that the disciples were in, Jesus breathed and he said, peace be with you. That fear that was terrorizing them was broken because they were in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We're two or three gathered. Jesus is here in our midst. So my prayer for us this morning is that when we encounter, and as we encounter the risen Christ, that we would be filled with joy, we would have peace, that our love would overflow for one another. Awesome, yeah? Amen. I love that song that we just sung. That, and I loved all of them, really. I picked them all. But I love that song, that last song. Just, you know, what a great victorious song of what Jesus has done at the cross. And what Jesus not only has done at the cross, but also rising from the dead on that third day. What a great victorious song. What a great hope that we have. You know, it's 1 Peter 1:3. It says, praise be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. In his great mercy, praise God, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Amen. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. I love Resurrection Sunday. I mean, for me, I love this should be celebrated every day. You know, the death, the crucifixion, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He was slain for my life. He bore my sin. And yet he rose again from the dead. Something I want to celebrate every day, because it's not only through Christ's death, but it's through his resurrection that I can have new birth. Hallelujah. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been made alive with resurrection power. Amen. We've been made alive with resurrection power. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If you've given your heart over to the Lord, if you're following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've committed your life to him, you've surrendered your life to him, the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you. That same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power lives in here. Just think about that for a moment. Resurrection power lives in here. Resurrection power lives here. Think of the Holy Spirit. We've been doing a series, you know, our theme for this year is Come Holy Spirit, and we've looked a little bit on the Holy Spirit. Early on, we looked at the Holy Spirit as a person, but also Holy Spirit as God. Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, first person of the Trinity revealed in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. He was there at creation. It was by the Spirit that God created all things. Guess what? He who created all things lives in here. He who created the universe lives in here. He who raised Jesus from the dead lives in here. There's so much power living in here. Enough power to transform your own life. Hallelujah. I'm excited by that. There is so much power that lives within each and every one of us. Resurrection Sunday, it's the most significant event on our calendar. The resurrection is the most significant event at all, of all. Death has been defeated. Death could not hold Jesus down. The grave could not hold Jesus, contain Jesus, could not restrain Jesus. He has victory because he is life. He is the resurrection and the life. Billy Graham says this: the resurrection is the central fact of Christianity. Everything else that was said or done by Christ and the apostles is secondary in importance to the resurrection. I don't know if I've got that. I have. I've got that up there. Everything else that was said or done by Christ and the apostles is secondary in importance to the resurrection. So why did Jesus have to die such a horrible death? Why did he have to die such a horrible death only to be raised again 3 days later? Jesus' death on the cross, it reminds me how fragile life is. Jesus, what, 33 years old? Arrested, sentenced to death, hung on a cross, crucified, most horrible death of all. Died, put into the grave. Jesus' death and his resurrection, it's the most significant event in all of history. I like to look at it as it's all one event. It's the most significant event in all history. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus then have to, you know, rise 3 days later? To know that, we need to understand the whole context of Jesus' death and resurrection. The whole context of why Jesus came. We've got to go back to the Garden of Eden, where God created Adam and Eve. God created humanity. And God created humanity to share his life with others. He created human, Adam and Eve, humankind, to share his life with others. Just think about it. We worship and serve a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three in one. Just think, before everything was created, before the universe was created, there was God. There was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just think, perfect love being shared between the three of them. There's perfect peace. Everything is perfect. Everything is like it's... There's nothing less. What do you call that? It's like it's hitting 100% all the way. Everything is in perfection. And God says, Father says to the Son, the Holy Spirit, hey, let's share what we have with others. And so he makes mankind. He makes Adam and Eve. And don't you just love the story when God created Adam and Eve and they're walking together in the cool of the day and there's no separation between... seems to be the spirit world and the physical world. I can imagine God just, you know, showing Adam and Eve around the garden. Take a look at this and take a look at that. Check this tree out. Eat this type of fruit. How good is that? I mean, he even said to Adam, you know, why don't you go and name all the animals? Name what you like. You want to call that an elephant? We'll call it an elephant. But we all know the story. Many of us know the story. There was this, you know, perfect harmony between, there's this relationship that's going on. It's perfection between God and mankind. But we know what happened. Many of us know what happened when the enemy is found in the garden, starts to sow lies into the minds of Adam and Eve, and they start to act on those lies. And then we have sin entering the world. And when sin enters the world, it creates an incredible barrier between mankind and God. No longer is there any kind of connection and fellowship and walking in the cool of the day together. There's a barrier there now. In fact, Adam and Eve are thrown out of the Garden of Eden. There is separation now. Sin separates us from the presence of God. Sin separates us from being in communion and relationship with God. Here is a couple of quotes on sin. John Owen says, sin is not only a transgression of the law, but a departure from the love of God. Charles Spurgeon, sin is not the breaking of God's law, but also the breaking of his heart. Wow, how powerful is that quote? Sin is not only the breaking of God's law, it's the breaking of his heart. Tozer, A.W. Tozer says, sin is the greatest barrier between God and man, the obstacle to all spiritual progress and blessing. J.I. Packer says, sin is the dark shadow that blots out the light of God's presence and separates us from his fellowship. Jonathan Edwards said, sin is the blackest thing in the universe, the most hideous and loathsome of all evils. So you're getting a bit of a picture of how ugly and terrible sin is. R.C. Sproul says, sin is the rebellion of the creature against the Creator, the denial of our dependence upon him and our assertion of our own self-sufficiency. Wow. And John Stott says, sin is the great destroyer, the enemy of all that is good and holy, the cause of all the misery and suffering in the world. We see a lot of misery and suffering in the world today. We see a lot of evidence of, you know, the consequence of sin in the world today. You don't have to look too far, you just got to look on your phone. You know, the world is pretty much becoming tribal, and you're on this side, you're on that side, and they're just clashing and fighting against one another. And even, you know, the truth of God's word is being attacked, trying to be shut down. You know, the truth that even we're called to speak. And in this day and age, as we speak truth, we're going to get opposition coming back for that. But that doesn't mean we don't speak the truth. The truth sets people free, yeah? But there's an attack on truth today. There's an attack on gender, attack on sexuality. There's an attack on the truth about Jesus. There's an attack on the truth about heaven and hell. Does hell really exist? Well, what does Jesus say? Yes. Taught about hell. I love it. I love what we did on Good Friday. Went to the nut. You know, as the church, we gathered together, we declared what Jesus had accomplished at Calvary. We also declared what he accomplished, you know, on Resurrection Sunday, went through the Stations of the Cross. You know, we had a service there. It was awesome. The church gathered together, declaring truth together. Not just Dream Builders, not just Harvest, not just the Anglican Church, but we're all in it together. And not only that, we got on top of the nut, on top of the mountain, we declared what Jesus has done. It was like we were making a declaration over our region. Christ has been crucified for the forgiveness of sins. He's the Lamb of God who was slain for the world. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. But that's not the end of the story. Because the end of the story, well, it goes on. It's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive. The grave could not hold him. Declaring that from the top of that mountain. Call it a mountain, the nut? It felt like a mountain after I climbed it. I needed that oxygen gear that they do when they climb Mount Everest. Out of shape, that's all. This is what Romans 6:23 says. We all going okay this morning? I know this is a day to be excited about, but we'll get to that. I need to put this all into context. The reason why Jesus came in the first place was to deal with the issue of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that actually mean, the wages of sin is death? Wages of sin, penalty of sin is death. Now, we've all worked, most of us have worked and are still working. And we get payment for the hours that we work, right? So it's wages. So the payment or the consequence of sin is death. Now, death is just means separation. We've all had loved ones, family, friends who have passed and have died. We no longer are able to communicate, able to connect with them. It's separation. Those who have given their hearts to the Lord and who have died, there's a day coming where we'll meet up again, yeah? Death means separation. So there's a natural death that we all need to go through unless Jesus comes back, but there's a natural death we all need to go through. It's part of, you know, the consequences of sin in this world. But there's also a second death. that if we're not careful, that we may face. Think about it. Death is separation. We're separated from our loved ones when our loved ones die. The second death is separation from God. That is the worst. That is the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death. Wages of sin, it's separation from God. Don't forget, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. Great big wall, barrier of separation between God and mankind. They were separated. Wages of sin is separation. You know, Jesus talked about this. You know, we talked about hell. Luke 16. The rich man and Lazarus. I haven't got that story on the screen, but go and read it. It's Luke chapter 16. The rich man and Lazarus, they both die around the same time. Lazarus goes into Abraham's bosom. Rich man goes somewhere else. It's a place called, we know as hell. And as the rich man goes into hell, he sees Abraham and Lazarus in the distance. And he says, can you please allow Lazarus to dip his finger in some water so he can come and, you know, touch my tongue, because I'm in such unquenchable fire here. I'm in agony. I'm in torment here. So and Abraham says, you can't do that because there's a great chasm between. You can't cross. You can't cross from this place to that and from that place to this. There's separation there. Then he goes, well, can you go and tell my brothers? I've got five brothers. Tell them about this place. Can't. Because your five brothers have got Moses and they've got the prophets. There's separation. Separation from God. He's alone. There's no one else there with him. He's in a place where Jesus described, it's agony, it's torment. It's unquenchable fire. Hell is a real place. We need to not be afraid. We need to not sweep hell under the carpet. That's probably what I'm trying to say. We need to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. We need to speak the truth, because the truth will set people free. We need to let people know and alert people know about this real place called hell. And not try and come into society's kind of idea as that, you know, everybody goes to heaven and everybody goes to be with God in the sky type of thing. It's not what Jesus taught. Sin is a real problem. Sin is it costs Jesus his life. Sin. My sin, your sin, our sin cost Jesus his life. You know, God had every right, if he wanted to, because of the wickedness of man, to wipe out humanity, but he chose not to. He chose not to. He chose not to give up on you and I. He chose not to give up on me, even though everything went horribly wrong. This is what the Bible says about sin or wickedness. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there is anyone who understands, anyone who seeks God. All have turned away and have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Isaiah 53, we heard this morning, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. And the Lord has laid the iniquity, upon him the iniquity of us all. Romans 1, verse 29, this is Paul talking, writing around about 60 AD. He's writing about humanity at that time. They're all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderous, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. He goes on. He goes on in Romans 3, everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is why Jesus came to this earth. This is why we celebrate. We actually celebrate what Jesus has done, because he has set us free from the curse and the power of sin over our lives. Because sin, it separates us from God. We all fall short. There is no one worthy. No one good enough. Our righteous rags are filthy. Our righteous works are filthy rags in God's eyes. So God had to do something about it. And he sent Jesus to be our atoning sacrifice for us. Hallelujah. Because without Jesus, we would all end up in that place Jesus just talked about and described in Luke chapter 16. Separated from God. Separated from one another. Separated from family. But thanks be to Jesus, you know, who went down that path and that way to suffer that horrible death for you and for me. Romans 6:23, let's read it again. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Wages of sin is death, separation. But the free gift of God, it's free and it's a gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Is everyone okay this morning? Is this? I don't want to be negative up here, but trying to put everything into context. What Jesus had to go through, he went through it because of you and I. He loved you and he loved me. He loved you so much. He loved me so much. He didn't want us to be separated from his presence. He loved you and me so much that he wants us to enjoy what he and the Father and the Holy Spirit enjoy. The life to the full, love to the full, perfect love, perfect peace, perfect joy. He wants us to experience that. Yes. I hope we get the revelation that I understand, like, you know, we can, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit left field. Maybe, I don't know. But that makes me really happy. Yes. That gives me so much joy. To know that I don't have to suffer what Jesus suffered. Just think about it. When Jesus went to the cross, what did he cry out on the cross? Before he said, forgive them, before he said, forgive them, I think. And before he said, it is finished. Yes. Think about that. My God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus hung on that cross. So think about it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have this perfect relationship with one another. Everything is perfect. Love, joy, peace. Everything is perfect. But then on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is happening on the cross? Don't forget, you know, Jesus, who was without sin, became sin. And you've got God who is holy and righteous. The holiness and righteousness of God can't coexist with sinful and depraved humanity, yeah? It can't. It can't coexist together. So when Jesus becomes sin on the cross, something significant happens. Jesus is experienced separation. Because this is what sin does. It separates us from the presence of God. So when Jesus is on the cross and he's crying out, what does he cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me? He is experiencing separation. How horrible would that have been? But you know what? He experienced it so you wouldn't have to experience it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exciting news, because you wouldn't want to be in that place to experience separation from God. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting the revelation of this. He who became sin on that cross, something happened within the Godhead. Something happened that we would never, we'll probably never be able to relate to, because we'll never experience that, because we'll never go through what Jesus went through. Amen. Now I've lost my spot. Oh, Romans. So Romans is such a great book. You know, Paul starts off talks about how we all fall short, but then he then goes on to talk about how good is Jesus Christ and how good is God and the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 8 verse 1 talks about there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation because the Spirit that he's given us has set us free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation now. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've given your heart to Jesus, there is no condemnation. You're not there to be condemned. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You're a part of God's family now. Amen? What about Romans 8 verse 11? I'll finish up in a minute. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Amen. We have life. If you've received Jesus, accepted him and surrendered to him, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have life inside of you. So when Jesus went to the cross, he dealt with the whole issue of sin, right? There's forgiveness of sin, the blood that was shed. We have forgiveness of sin. The sin issue has been dealt with. We have the forgiveness of sin, right, with God. With forgiveness with God. The resurrection gives us life. So the issue with sin that separates us from God, dealt with on the Friday. On the Sunday, we have life, new life, because the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead who lives in us gives us life. Is this making sense? Listen to what Peter says again. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not through the death of Jesus Christ, but through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what happened on the Friday? It dealt with our sin. It dealt with that thing that separated us from God. What happened on the Sunday made us alive. Because, you know, he who lives in here now is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Sorry, I'm just getting a little bit passionate about this. I'm getting a little bit excited about this. And you might feel I'm yelling and it might be hard, but I'm just passionate. You know, everything that Jesus has done for us, it is incredible. Sharon, I'll just get you jump up on the keys. Everything he's done for us is incredible. What he did on the Friday, sacrificed his life, the sacrifice upon all sacrifice, dealt with that thing, that sin that separated us from God. Because Jesus went through that for us. On the Sunday, we have new birth, we have new life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God anymore. Nothing can separate us from God anymore, Paul talks in Romans. Not life, not death. Not angels, not demons, because that wall of separation has been broken down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If, you know, we've got to go through the process of natural death, but, you know, Paul says we die here, bang, next minute, we're in the presence of the Lord. We're in the presence of God. We just like in the blinking of an eye, we go from one space to another, but to be in the presence of the Lord. Nothing separates us now. If you've given your life and your heart to Jesus and committed and surrendered your life to Jesus, nothing separates you anymore. Sin no longer separates. The whole thing of sin doesn't separate you from God and his presence. Can we just stand? You know, this morning, we just dim the lights a bit, don't we? Thanks. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, you know, you might be wrestling with the whole idea about this whole God thing, and you may never have made a commitment, or maybe you haven't made a commitment to follow Jesus and as your Lord and as your Savior. But you know that there's something that separates, there's something there that is separating you from the presence of God. There's something there that's separating you from God's love. Can I say this morning, if you would just give your heart, your life to Jesus, that wall of separation will come crumbling down. If there's anyone here this morning and you've never made that decision, you've never confessed out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Paul goes on to say that anyone who confesses out of their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead will be saved. If you've never confessed that Jesus is Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do it now. If you just raise your hands And I'd love to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you have, and maybe there was a time where you have and you were walking in the presence of the Lord, but something has happened and you've drifted away. Or maybe you're getting involved into things that are actually putting a barrier between you and God's presence, because sin will separate us from the presence of God. And maybe you haven't experienced God's presence for a long time. You haven't experienced His joy for a long time. You haven't experienced His love for a long time. Well, maybe there's a barrier there that needs to be broken down. And it just needs to come back into alignment with what God has done, His finished work at the cross. And maybe He's just saying, I'm just going to repent and need to get back to where You want me, where You place me, in alignment with Your plan and Your purpose. If that's you want to put up your hand, I'd love to pray with you this morning. How about we all pray this prayer together? I'm just feeling here that, there's a hand that needs to come up. There's actually a couple that needs to come up. But we'll pray this prayer together. And let's just pray. It can be a prayer of repentance. It can be a prayer of, a first-time commitment. It doesn't matter. But let's just pray this prayer together. Lord, I just thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the cross of Calvary. I thank You, Lord, that You shed Your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And Lord, I just thank You that death could not hold You down. That You have risen from the grave. That You are the resurrection and the life. So Lord, this morning, I just recommit my life to You. I just re-surrender my life to You. I pray that You will put me back into alignment of the finished work of the cross. I pray, Lord, right now that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just declare that I will follow You as Lord and Savior for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we can turn the lights just back up. Well, a big happy Easter to everyone this morning. Thanks for coming along. Thanks for hearing. What's that? That was a bit of a challenge, was it? It's all good. And it may have been a bit of a challenging message this morning. But I want you to get the hope that we have of what Jesus has done, that He dealt with that whole barrier of sin, that He brought down that barrier that separated us from the presence of God. And it is through His resurrection that we have life. It's through His resurrection that we have new birth. It's through His resurrection that we can be born again. It's through His resurrection that we get to have life, and we get to be in the presence of God, and we get to enjoy the life of God as much as He enjoys the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We get to enjoy that full and complete life with one another. We get to enjoy that as well. And just as another word of encouragement, what we have, just as God shares what He has with others, we should share what we have with others as well. So we should share our life that we have with Jesus with others. We shouldn't hide that from anyone. We shouldn't be, I won't say that, but we shouldn't hide it. What we should do is we should share what we have. The blessing that God has given us, we should share it with others.